Good evening, everybody. Here, I'll put this away. Well, let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When we live our life on this earth, we often feel like, what is there to look forward to? Or what's the next event to be excited for? Well, as born-again believers in Christ, there is an event that is coming, and that is the rapture. What is the rapture? What is that about? The rapture is a forceful snatching away. So it's like you're playing tug-of-war with somebody else, and somebody that's very strong kind of like pulls you like really hard like that. Very, very fast. I read one of Joseph Dalmage's book about parables. He wrote that the word rapture is not found anywhere in the Bible, but it is a well-accepted term for the event. He also wrote in his book that the rapture is a going away, not a returning. We will see in our text that the Lord is going to take his people, and it will prove that the Lord is going to take the whole church out of this world of sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and if you dare say, I'm with you, we will now stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are going to preach on this subject, the day to look forward to. And we will begin our reading in verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for a wonderful promise you have here that you're going to take us out of this world of sin. For Lord, no, we don't know when it's going to happen, but Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we would just look forward to that day, Lord. I just pray that this message would be an encouragement to everybody in this room. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. The day to look forward to. As we look at the context, we see that Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church, and it looks like they've lost someone. They're very sad. So Paul writes to them telling them, hey, you don't have to be in sorrow. Think about it. They're in a place called heaven. The Lord is going to come, and he's going to rapture us. And let's encourage one another with these words. The subject about the rapture is one of the most famous and most common passages that are preached at funerals. Now, you could be even saying to yourself, okay, why isn't this subject being preached on? Well, you could probably think to yourself, like, hey, you may be sitting in this room saying, like, well, I'm just sitting here at church, and the rapture is not going to be for a long while, so why should I have to listen here? Well, let me tell you, my friend here, here's what you got to listen to. Are you ready to hear this? Pack your lunch here, okay? Because here's what you got to understand, though, because I believe that we are coming to the last days. I think it's coming very fast. And guess what? It may not be for a long time, but you may never know. Who knows, though? Only God Almighty knows when the rapture will happen. This subject about the rapture is very imperative for the church. I'm not talking about Emmanuel Baptist Church or just a church building. If you're here or watching by your internet, and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, Please understand this. The Bible declares that you are now part of the body of Christ. So who's the church? It's just not the building. You are the church, the bride of Christ, and you are part of the body of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Here's what's going to happen. When the Lord raptures the Christians, there will be no more Christians on this earth. And I heard Brother Joseph told me about this, and it's a very good statement to think about. There was the first Christian, and there is the last Christian. That is very, that's a very scary thought right there. The first Christian, and there is the last Christian of this age, presently, right now. What's going to happen when the Lord raptures us? The Lord is going to take his church out of this world, and we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of what we have done for him on this earth while we're living here. And the next thing that's going to happen is that we're going to be in a wedding. The rapture is the day to look forward to. Let's not be ignorant, and let's encourage each other. We can look forward to that day by doing two things. The first thing we must do is to not be ignorant. To be not ignorant. Ignorance is something we should not dwell on. What are we not to be ignorant about? Paul says in verse 13, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." We should not be ignoring those which are asleep. The people that are asleep are those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you could probably have think back to a time and you might have lost someone. Maybe like your friends, a family member, or a grandparent that was very dear to you. That had been a time of sorrow. Here's what you got to understand. Here's the good news, though. If you lost someone that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then they're in a great place called heaven. You could be sad for the lost ones that you love. Hey, you have every right to feel what you have to feel. But guess what, though? If they're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then that is even greater news right there. Those who have died in Christ Jesus are under God's care, and there is no more suffering for them. One of the greatest things that the Bible tells us is that when Jesus saves us from our sins, God has already have a home already prepared for you guys. Jesus even said in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." If you're saved by the blood of Christ, Christ the Lord has a place prepared for you right now. And here's a good comforting thought right here. You will also be able to see the ones that you love who have died in the Lord. We are not to be ignorant concerning those that are asleep. Don't ever forget the ones who have died in the Lord. So why shouldn't we be ignorant about those that are asleep? Paul says in verse 13, "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." What is that supposed to mean? What is he talking about here? Paul in this text is comparing to those who are lost. We could be sad for someone that we lost, but we don't have to live in sorrow. Here's what you got to understand today. The world is in sorrow at funerals. Because here's why. They absolutely have no idea. Here's why. If we, us as born-again believers in Christ, when someone has died and they have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, it should be a celebration. It'll be hard. You'll be in sorrow. But guess what, though? It's not going to be unlike those who are lost, and they have no, guess what? They have no idea. All they know is that their loved one is dead, and they're buried in the ground. There's no hope for them. They have no idea at all. They just have no hope for heaven. They have no hope for Jesus Christ. They don't know who Christ Jesus is. They're hopeless. We might even say to ourselves, "Oh, how am I supposed to live? Where is all this hope? Why is everything? My world is ending here. My life is hopeless. As born-again believers in Christ, we don't have to sorrow. We have this hope, this blessed hope, and the Bible declares that this hope is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Feeling depressed about someone you lost? There is a hope you can rest on. That is one, if someone that you lost died in the Lord, they're in heaven right now, presently. And number two, if you're saved by the blood of Christ, you will also be in heaven. And you will also see the ones who have gone before us. We should not be ignorant. Now, we have a blessed assurance. What is this blessed assurance? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14 tells us, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So what is it talking about here? Those who died in the Lord Jesus Christ will be with the Lord because they have believed that Jesus died and rose from the dead. So if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, we too shall also be with the Lord. If you were to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible tells us that if Christ were not to rise from the dead, we will all be miserable. And another thing too, the Bible also declares that if Christ were not to rise from the dead, this preaching will be vain. What's the point here? If Christ were not to rise from the dead, then what's being preached here? Guess what? It's a huge waste of your time. You wouldn't even be here right now. And guess what? I would be wasting my time. And I'll be like, okay, Christ didn't rise from the dead, and I'm just walking in this world saying, okay, what hope do I have? And also, the Bible tells us that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then those who slept in Christ, they will all perish. They will be in hell right now and not in heaven. But here's the good news, though. Christ the Lord lives today, and he is out there, and he's there to save souls and the lost souls. And those who sleep in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not perishing. They're in heaven right now. They're out of this world. They're in a retirement in this world of sin. I believe that's even a way better retirement than after working in your job, because a whole lot better here. Retirement in heaven is a way lot better than retirement on earth. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Are you looking forward to that day? Now let's look at verse 15. It says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." So what is Paul trying to tell us here? Paul declares by the word of the Lord that we, born-again believers in Christ, which are alive and remaining unto the coming of Christ, shall not come before those who are asleep. Now, what Paul wrote saying, unto the coming of the Lord, this is not the second coming of Christ the Lord. The second coming is a different event from the rapture. It comes after the rapture. Like it's been preached earlier, the rapture is a going away, not a returning. In Romans 8, verse 23, the Lord calls the rapture the redemption. And in that passage, Paul even wrote that we as a body of Christ, we are waiting for the adoption and the redemption. As born-again believers in Christ, we must prepare ourselves for the rapture. Just because the Lord saved you from your sins doesn't mean you just sit idle, waiting for the Lord to just rapture us. What are you doing? What do we do? Jesus said in Matthew 27, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you." Here's what you got to understand. It is not the pastor's job, Ryan's job, Brother Joseph's job, or even my job to go out to the lost and dying world with the gospel of Christ. He said, whatsoever, Christ said, whatsoever I commanded you. That is to the body of Christ. Everyone in this room, if you're here and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has given you a task to at least reach out to others with the gospel of Christ. Wouldn't it be nice that we as the body of Christ were to go out into the world and reach out to at least one soul and share the gospel? At least one soul. You don't have to do many. Just at least one soul. Wouldn't it be nice that we do it now, starting now, till before the rapture happens? And I pray to God that if we can do that, if we do that right now, I believe that the Lord will not just only breathe one last time on this church, but also this world, though. Wouldn't it be nice that the Lord would just a little breathe on this nation, revival, lost souls coming to Christ and accepting the free gift of salvation? That would be a wonderful thing to be right there. And Scripture tells us that Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The rapture is the day to look forward to. Let's not be ignorant, and let's be encouraging. Now that we know that we must not be ignorant of those who are asleep, the second thing we must do is to be encouraging. We have this great event to look forward to, and guess what? And the Lord is going to descend. How shall the Lord descend? Verse 16 tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Here's what's going to happen, born-again believer. God is going to step down from his throne, and he's going to rapture all of his people out of this world. And guess what? It will be a good ride right there. Amen. And guess what? He's going to shout. That shout is going to be way louder than what you hear on this microphone. It's going to be louder than a megaphone. And also, it's going to be louder than you would hear a siren outside of a tornado warning. This shout is going to be a cry of incitement. He's going to be like, "I'm coming for you, my children. He's coming for you." Christ the Lord is going to get us out of this world. And it will be a glorious day. He's going to blow that trumpet. And guess what? We will not want to be left behind and miss the boat of the rapture. We don't want to be here. What are you talking about? Those who are left behind are the ones who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible declares that those who are still living and remaining on this earth, after the rapture happens, here's some bad news. This is This is bad news bears right here. Those who are left behind on this earth are gonna have to go through a time called the Great Tribulation. So what is the Great Tribulation? The Great Tribulation is a time of persecution and anguish. And guess what, my friend? You do not want to be here whatsoever. It will be hell on earth. It will never be fun at all. So you may be thinking to yourself, like, "Oh, I'm going through finance problems. I'm going through all this trouble right here. I'm going through a lot of this drama right here. All this stress." Let this be something to remind you. You think what you're going through is hard? Guess what? The Great Tribulation is a whole lot worse. And sweet friend, and if you don't know Christ the Lord as your Savior, you're going to end up dealing with a lot of problems and a lot of persecution and anguish. And guess what? Let this be a warning to you. I pray to God that this word, that the word will speak and not me. Let this be a warning to you. If you're here or those watching by internet, if you choose not to believe the gospel of Christ and you're still living on this earth after you've seen everyone disappearing, then you're choosing to be part of the tribulation. And sweet friend, please, I don't want that to happen. You're going to face a lot of problems, and you're going to be questioning yourself, like, why is everyone disappearing? Well, here's why. Everyone that's disappearing is because they have already been, they're out of this world, and they're in heaven right now, being judged, and they're being part of the wedding of Christ. My friend, let me tell you right now, and this is from what God told me, from his word, and it says it right here, that someone is going to come, and that is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is Satan himself. And guess what? He despises you. What? It's every fiber. Revelation 13 tells us that the Antichrist is going to do great wonders, and he's going to deceive those that dwell on the earth. Scripture also declares that the Antichrist is known as the beast of the earth. He's going to do lying wonders. And guess what? The Bible declares that when he does all those lying wonders, many on this earth during the Great Tribulation are going to believe him. Sweet friend, my prayer to God is that if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, please realize that you are a sinner and that Christ Jesus died for your sins on the cross and he was risen from the dead. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Christ Jesus the Lord loves you unconditionally. If you believe that Christ died for you and was risen from the dead, then you shall be saved. All you need to do is just call on Christ to save and forgive you your sins. You will have a blessed hope in heaven, and you can live for the Lord. You shall never suffer the tribulation. Who's the Lord going for? Verse 16 and 17 tells us, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God is going to raise the deceased Christians that are buried in the ground first. Then we that are still living and remaining on the earth will also be caught together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. On the authority of God's holy word, it is not the end for those who die in Christ the Lord. It may be on this earth, but praise God, it is not the end, because they will be in the presence of God in heaven. They don't have to be in this world of sin anymore. Paul makes a great statement in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 52. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption inherit incorruption. Your flesh, according to God's word, is corrupt. Like your skin, your blood, everything, it's flesh. It's all corrupt. What is that supposed to mean? It's filthy. That's what it is. When Christ saves you from your sins, he saved your soul. And the Bible declares, it even says it right here, that your flesh is still corrupt. But when you enter into the presence of God's kingdom, you will no longer have this corrupt body. I'm even corrupt. I'm filthy. you will have a new body, no more scars and no more bruises. There is a great statement in verse 51. It says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, dead shall be raised and shall be raised and become incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The rapture is a mystery. Nobody knows what day or what hour it can happen. It may happen in the next 10 minutes or maybe when you walk out of church. We don't know. But only the Lord our God knows when it's going to happen. Born again believer, you could probably think to yourself, and you probably said it over and over again. You're probably like, I'm just going to die here. Oh, my word. Like, hey, let this be an encouragement to you. You may die physically, but guess what, though? This Bible tells it. This Bible here says that your soul will not die. I'm not saying it. This is right here. The Bible, we all, as born-again believers in Christ, we are not going to die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Like, that is very fast. That is how fast the Lord is going to rapture us. Oh, way faster than a jet. I think you might need to take that phone call. Just kidding. It's all under the blood. Anyway, are you looking forward to that day? The rapture is a great event. We shall now comfort. Who shall we comfort? Verse 18 tells us, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Church, born-again believers in Christ, if you're here or watching by the internet, let this word speak into your life right now that we are to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ with these words. What are those words? Look at the word "wherefore." As Pastor would have said it, it will be said again. You hear this a lot. "Wherefore" means that we should look back at the previous verses. We got to backtrack here. So what Paul is telling us here, we as the body of Christ are to encourage each other that we don't have to be in sorrow for those who have died in the Lord. We must encourage each other that the Lord is going to come and bring us out of this world. And we must come alongside of those who are grieving for their loss. "The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend." Even so, even so. The rapture is the day to look forward to. The rapture is going to happen, and that is the day to look forward to. We're going to stand and have a hymn of invitation. The Lord's touched your heart. You need to respond. You can come up here. You can kneel. Talk to your God. Just thank him, maybe. Or tell him everything that's on your heart. Or you can even pray at your seat right there. Whatever it is, you can encourage one another right next to your seat or anyone around here, either now or when you walk out of this church. You can encourage everybody. Hey, you don't have to be in sorrow. Like, you don't have to be in sorrow. There's joy in heaven, and the Lord is going to come and get us out of here. Let's encourage each other, right? Now, maybe you're sitting in this room right now or watching by internet. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. My friend, the Bible has a really good promise here, and it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you believe that Christ died for your sins and was risen from the dead, you shall be saved. All you need to do is call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and to forgive you of all your sins. Christ will save and change your life. You shall have a home in heaven. You could follow after him. You can even read this word right here. Follow after him. You can also encourage each other and encourage one another that we are going to be out of this world of sin. No more suffering. no more persecution. I hope that this will be an encouragement to you. Come as we sing. What's your
301, softly and 301.